Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Backups aren't a super sexy topic of conversation, but when you or your clients have been breached, they can be a lifesaver. So this week, we're having a chat with frequent podcast guest Tony Anscombe-Viset about the strategy behind backing up. We talk about the role of backup as a managed services fundamental, the differences brought on by the rise of cloud apps, the evolving drivers and processes of a backup strategy, why MSPs and their backups are often a target themselves of attackers, and the best practices for auditing and testing backup and recovery, because if you can't get the data back out when you need to, wasn't really a very good backup, was it? It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with ESET's Tony Anscombe. Tony, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
The pleasure's all mine.
Good to have you aboard again. Good to see you as always, and good to have a chance to chat with you about backup, the importance thereof, and basically what's going on in the backup space. You know, it's such a fundamental, right? I go back to you know, my first days of using a computer and backing up things to tape or to even floppy drives and that sort of things. Obviously things have changed since then, but it remains such a fundamentally important thing. What are some of the factors today that are kind of driving the discussion, evolving the need for backup and kind of.
Well, your cyber resilience plan needs to have backup firmly in there towards the top of the list, because backups are, as you just said, incredibly important. But the one big one I think that's played for everybody is ransomware. Of course, if you mm-hmm. are subject to a ransomware attack, then the cyber criminal is likely to have encrypted all your data, and you may well be reliant on going back to that backup and dusting off that data and to try and run your business without paying the ransomware demand.
Given the prominence of ransomware in recent years and the attention that it's got and the fact that it has become a C-level concern for many or most organizations, but at the same time, backup is, you know, kind of you think of it as that process that's always been there, an insurance type thing, right? You don't think of it until you need it. Has it got the attention and the updating that it needs to kind of keep pace with the way that the drivers of a need for a backup strategy have evolved?
Well, it's certainly changed over my time in IT, Rob. like you, floppy disk drives and such like, and one of the first jobs I had at a bank, we were backing up twice a day onto tape, and we had a van pull up first thing in the morning and then at lunchtime, and the tapes used to go off to an underground bunker. So it's become a bit more sophisticated than back then. I mean, these days you'd have automated backups, cloud backups, and even backups in pretty much near real time, all the way from the client. And I mention the client because sometimes I think we forget, don't we, that the actual client machine, the device that the user uses, needs backing up to. They might be holding data on it. All the way through to the corporate. And the other piece that I think we often maybe not consider enough is the stuff that's held in the cloud. Is in the cloud that we might actually be using. Are they being backed up? Are there offline backups of those services as well? But it's the importance is incredible, because when disaster happens. And let's be honest, it's a real disaster, isn't it? If you're having to go back to a backup, when disaster happens, it really is the backstop.
Kind of that last wall of defense when hopefully existent plans A, B, C, and or D have all not been able to save the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about the anatomy of, for example, a ransomware attack, somebody gets in, they've exfiltrated, they exfiltrate the data. They mess with the data. They may have been in there for some time. So it's not just backups from last week that you need. It might be backups going, historically back a month or two. So prior to the intrusion into your network. and being able to piece back pieces of backups and working out what data that had been touched and what data hadn't over time. Because, of course, if somebody's left malware embedded in the backup, you know, when you restore it, you're going to be right back at, unfortunately, to the disaster that was unfolding.
Yeah, last best state, right? Cloud has been both such a boon in terms of the ability to have offsite backup, that's cloud as a backup tool. Cloud more broadly, and you kind of hint at this, has both been a boon and added in some ways to the complexity. In terms of my understanding with the hyperscalers, is that one has to be careful, or one risks getting into a question of whose ball is that pop fly kind of thing, right? Is it my responsibility to have this data? Is it your responsibility to have this data? Who owns this, and who's responsible for making sure it's there when we need to go back to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of that service level agreement you've got with the cloud provider of the service you're using. So if you're using some specialized application that your staff rely on and is got your customer management system in it or whatever it might be, it's important that actually you make sure contractually that person is bound to have the right backup strategy in place. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they're duplicating their data center in the cloud from one site to another. You know, one of the most important things is to have an offline backup as well. You know, so is that data on frequent occasion actually being backed up off onto removable media and being kept in a disconnected state? So therefore, you know, any ransomware attack is not getting in and encrypting both sets of data that are in the cloud and leaving you high and dry. So it's important that actually that the same backup strategy applies to cloud providers of services, i.e. of solutions, not, you know, not your backup provider being in the cloud, but your systems running in the cloud. They need to have the same policy on them that you would have for your own data internally.
In the early days of managed services, it seemed like for a lot of MSPs and proto MSPs, managed backup was one of the obvious early things, especially when you're looking at an SMB client and saying, we own your IT, we'll make sure everything's fine. The tendency was, I think, to set up kind of a default backup plan kind of approach. Curious, what are the best practices today? What should MSPs be thinking about when they're crafting those kinds of approaches, acknowledging, as I imagine one would have to, that different clients have different needs, different sensitivities, different frequency of backup, that sort of thing?
Well, as you said, it was a natural migration, wasn't it, as an MSP service? So, you know, I mentioned my stint at a bank earlier on, you know, where we had a van pull up and take these backups away twice a day. You know, yeah. An SMB never had the luxury of that type of service because it was expensive. But whereas, you know, when you could back up over a cloud service, i.e., install a piece of software on a server, you tell it what it wants to back up and it backs up, pushes the data off to a backup on the cloud somewhere, then it was a natural migration. It was a natural service to be offered. And it was a huge improvement on SMBs who probably realistically had bad backup policies and, you know, didn't actually adhere to too much of a policy that would actually dig them out of a hole if disaster struck. But today, I think that's changed. Is, you know, when was the last time, if you have an MSP service, you know, is the MSP, you know, like we just said with cloud services, are they backing up to multiple places, maybe one or two online places, and are they holding one offline? Are they actually aware of all the data that the company has? You know, are they looking at other devices the company has as well? So are they going all the way down to the endpoint? You know, what about mobile phones? You know, what about, for example, router configurations? Imagine somebody getting in, or maybe the disaster isn't ransomware. Maybe it's not a cyber criminal at all. Maybe the disaster is, you know, your building got flooded and all your equipment's underwater, quite literally. You might have to actually rebuild router configurations, switch configurations, firewall configurations. It's not just about you know, we tend to think backups are about data, customer data, and such like. It's not just about that customer data or the operation of the business. It's actually about the entire infrastructure backup.
And that gets into that kind of broadens the discussion, doesn't it? It takes you into all kinds of new directions that a service can cover or not cover, depending on obviously client need and sensitivity and budget.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other things that you need to think about then is also that in backing up to an MSP service, you know, what about the security of the backup itself and the MSP? Because if you're a cyber criminal, do I go after the MSP who's got 20 or 30 or 40 companies' backups? And if I find a weakness or a vulnerability in their system, then potentially I can come and exfiltrate all of that data mm-hmm. and take it away. So is the data being held by the MSP securely as well? So the MSP needs to make sure that actually they've got the right policies and practices in place to keep the customer data secure that they're also holding on behalf of the customer.
Yeah, good point, especially in light of some of the things we saw a few years ago, where some of the common tools that MSPs use for things like backup and other managed services were instrumental in some rather high profile attacks. So yeah, it's obviously and completely on the MSP to make sure that they understand where their suppliers are set up and how safe they are.
Yeah, and beyond that, it's also about testing that service as well. So mm-hmm. actually, you know, when you do your own security audit of making sure your own systems are secure, I'd actually be stepping off and asking the MSP to run similar processes and tests to make sure their systems are just as secure as yours. Because at the stage they're holding all your data as a backup, they are you. Without question. So make sure those policies are being looked after. And while you're there, you know, I'd grab a copy of that backup, and test whether you can restore it.
Because it ain't worth nothing if you can't.
Well, it's no good having a backup, is it, if it's not usable?
Yeah, exactly. What's kind of the best practice, either at the MSP level or at the customer level? And I guess if you're in an MSP spot, then you're kind of going to be responsible for both, at least to some degree. But what's the best practice in terms of those audits, in terms of frequency and depth and that kind of thing?
Well, frequency is a good question. And in fact, I've just literally come off of another call, Rob, where we were talking about the differences between OT environments and IT environments. And I mentioned that right here in when we're talking about frequency, because, of course, different types of businesses have different requirements. So, you know, if I'm a small business and I'm running something in an OT environment where I've got operational technology that requires to be running permanently, it's revenue generating technology, if that makes sense. Maybe I run a small mining company. Mm-hmm. And if my OT stops working, I stop mining, which therefore my revenue stream just stopped completely. Whereas, you know, if I'm running a small factory that makes shoes, while I might be dependent upon orders coming in and order processing, etc., the frequency might have less of a pain.
Mm.
Yeah. Because if something doesn't happen immediately, or something takes my system offline for maybe an hour, while I might lose some productivity, you know, the likelihood is my factory keeps working.
At least the shoes are being made, even if it takes a little while longer to get them out the door.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, it depends. It really, frequency is all about the business that you're trying to protect and understand, actually understanding. And I'd say that's primarily number one, isn't it? As an MSP, when you go to visit the customer and you're starting to talk about a service backup in this way, is that you need to understand the customer's business. This is not just about, oh, you want backup. Yeah. How frequently did you want that? You need to ask the customer about how their business operates and whether those real time issues exist or whether they don't. Mm-hmm. And if if there was an issue that required them to restore, how, you know, can their business operate while it's being restored? Yeah, et cetera. So I think you need to really understand the customer.
And I guess that comes down to how you sell as an MSP, how you approach customers. It sounds like it's not necessarily a one size fits all kind of sale. It's as so many things are, I'm going to go back to the great cliche of the channel and trusted advisor type stuff. It's making sure you understand customer requirements, the regulations they're under, the sensitivities of their business, all these sorts of things, and coming up with something that covers them best.
Well, and I think you just mentioned something very interesting in that sentence, regulation. Mm. Yeah. It's important that you understand what regulations are in place for that customer and the data they hold. So, for example, if you're talking about a small medical clinic, a doctor's practice, then all sorts of different regulation, certainly if you step into the US with HIPAA, and I know there's legislation in Canada for this type of data as well. It's super important that you actually make sure that as a service provider, you're then adhering to the same level of security that data has from the legislator or regulator. Because what you don't want is your customer to be fined because of the way you're storing their backup.
Yeah. And again, an added complexity of cloud environments, to some degree, data residency issues have been solved by many more Canadian cloud providers spinning up, but it still is something to keep an eye on, be aware of.
It certainly is. And those, you know, and it's something not only that you tick the box when you meet the customer and get their requirements at the start, but you've got to monitor the changes in those regulations as well. You know, we often see frequently in privacy legislation, you know, new bits come along or you need to comply with new bits. So if you've got a Canadian company that suddenly is doing business, maybe with cross-border transactions with California, then there might be different requirements. So you've got to keep abreast of the changes that your customer's business might be having, but also the legislation in the jurisdictions where those business transactions are taking place.
What else do MSPs? I mean, we've covered kind of the customer needs side of things and a lot of different aspects. But what else do MSPs need to know when thinking about crafting a backup strategy for customers?
Well, so we've covered a few things, haven't we? We've covered, you know, understand the company, their data requirements, where their data is, what's important to them, whether it's operational data, you know, whether it's what I define as data at rest. Maybe that's a bad term for it, but you understand what I mean by that. So we've covered a lot of the angles there, but I think that, you know, and the security at the MSP is that other super important part in there. But beyond that, I think it's also about looking at how you store it, where it goes from here. You know, are you using somebody else's storage? Is the MSP then, you know, am I in a long chain of storage? Is the MSP actually hosting the storage? Is it being stored across on, you know, Microsoft servers, or is it being stored on the Amazon cloud, or where it goes beyond there? But I think it's, you know, fundamentally backups, the core concept doesn't change that much. The need to have this data somewhere else for resilience is actually the key. But also, I would work with the customer about, okay, so disaster happens. Your office is now underwater. I can provide you your data. What are you going to restore it? Where's it going? Where do you want me to put it? You know, where are you going to restore it to? So it's not just this is about part of that cyber resilience plan. Yeah. You know, they need to have somewhere where it's then rehoused. The systems need to come back online. So it's actually having, I would say, and that's just as important as the backup piece, bear in mind. Because if I can't restore it, if I've got nothing to restore it to, then what was the purpose of the backup?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, and I go back to my days in a bank. Yeah, at that stage, you know, life was very different. We didn't have the internet and such like. Yeah, but we had, a mile away from where I worked, we had an underground disaster recovery site. which was an entire floor, three floors down, underground, that was, I wouldn't say blast proof, but it was kind of immune to any activity that might have taken place because terrorist attacks in London or whatever back then. And we powered up all these servers every month to make sure everything in the disaster recovery environment worked. That's the type of thing that I would be ensuring as an MSP, that actually you've talked to your customer about, okay, we've got the backup, we've got all these pieces in place. What happens in the disaster recovery? Where are we going?
That makes for a big conversation, but it's important stuff because kind of need a place for it to go.
It's like selling life insurance though, Rob, isn't it? Yeah, we're talking about this disaster that's going to come and affect your life. It's data insurance in that way.
It's an apt analogy, right? As so much security. Some parts of security not so much. Some are more day-to-day defense, whereas this is more something that you don't need it until you need it, and then you better have it in place.
Yeah. The other thing, and you asked about, what about other things? Actually, the speed of restoration, I think, is also super important. And to understand how quickly you could get a business back up and running. And why do I think that's important? And why do I think it should be tested? Yeah. So not only you've got somewhere to restore it, but how quickly could you get that back up and running and actually have that business operational? And that should be a tested process as an MSP. With the client. And the reason being is, ransomware hits on 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. And if it takes 4 days for me to restore the data and get the business operational again,
that's a problem.
Some CEO might be sitting there going, but I could pay the ransom. We could be operational in 4 hours just for the decryption. So I'm just pointing out, also understand the boundaries and actually that, in theory, that you can beat the decryption, buying that key from the person behind the ransomware. Yeah, beat it by actually making sure that your restoration is quick and that policy is in place.
Speaks to the need for a clear, well defined, verified, and tested SLA.
It certainly does, and I think it's a very unfashionable, unexciting part of cyber resilience. Let's go and test the backup policy today, shall we? It's not going to excite the team, but unfortunately it's one of those tasks that needs to be done.
As are so many. Covered a lot of ground. Anything else that you wanted to throw in there? I think I'm good in terms of the things we need to think about in a backup strategy and building that strategy out for an MSP org.
Well, I think my big thing in there was understanding the client and making sure also that you're holding the backup securely. It's all too easy, isn't it? Sometimes we forget about the sensitivity of the data that's actually within the backup. You're holding the crown jewels of somebody's company.
Yeah, at the same time for an MSP, this is kind of one of those 101 services. It's something that maybe every now and then needs a little bit of attention, a little bit of eyes on it to make sure that things are current, things are as good as they can be, and that your customers are as protected as they need to be to the current state of the world.
Well, the good part about selling a backup service is every customer needs one.
This is true.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity every time you step through a prospect or a customer's door.
Yeah, and for a lot of smart MSPs, it is one of those fundamentals. If you are our client, this will be happening kind of services. Yes.
Well, let's just hope it's the need for it never the need for restoration never happens, but it's one of those.
As with so many things, you hope to never use it, but man, you'd hate to be in a position where you need to use it but can't.
So come on now, I have one last question here, Rob.
Uh-oh.
Do you back up?
So I do, not as well as I should. And, I'm cloud dependent on that regard, but, I mean, fortunately I'm a real micro business and so much of what I need is sort of consumer grade.
So if you're an MSP listening to this podcast, then I would recommend you contact Rob.
Hit me up. We'll do a contra deal.
Yes. No, I'm seriously. It's one of those things, isn't it, that I think as a small business or even as an individual, I look at, I'm sitting here on the desk and my own personal Mac is sitting here on the desk as well. When was the last time I banked it up? Probably about a month ago. So it could probably do with a bit of a refresh. And it's one of those unfashionable things that we don't do, that even personally we should be doing more frequently.
A valid point. Back up all the things. Tony, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time. I'm sure we will be in touch again soon.
I hope so, Rob. And enjoy the rest of your day.
I'm going to go figure out how I can back up more effectively. There you have it. Thoughts on backup strategy from ESET's Tony Anscombe. I'd like to thank Tony for joining us once again on the podcast. Thank ESET for their continuing support of the site. And of course, thank you for listening today. The podcast will be back next week, and we'll stick to the security theme and talk about the importance of security frameworks and managed services with Stephen Nichols of Acronis. We'll discuss what frameworks are, how MSPs can operationalize them, and what it all means from a security operations, reporting, and governance standpoint. So be sure to keep an ear open for that. Of course, the easiest way to do that is to subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app of choice, and should the app allow you to do so, please do leave us a review and or rating. Until next week, I'm Robert Dunn for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.